down to business on Newstalk
with Electric Ireland, giving your business flexible tailored solutions for gas and electricity. Search Electric Ireland Business.
Tomorrow. Now, there's a lot of work involved in making something dead appear living. It's not a cheap process either, and certainly not for the squeamish. Joining me now for this week's Industry Review are three taxidermists. Delighted to be joined by Michael Dunn from Michael Dunn's Taxidermy Studio, Tracy Murphy, she's a hobbyist taxidermist, and Donal Mulcahy from Glenhamead Taxidermy. You're all very welcome, and this is a business I know absolutely nothing about. So you might help me to start off with Donal. Tell me about, just give me at a high level, what is it exactly that you do?
Well, as a taxidermist, what we're doing is we're trying to create as close as possible to a living animal out of the animal that died.
Right.
It takes a long time, takes years of experience and trial and trepidation to get up to the high standard that we're trying to get to. And some of us, I think, are getting close to it.
Right. And the reasons, and there are probably many, why someone would choose to stuff an animal would be, just let's walk through some of those. So maybe would you consider something that was a pet that you liked, even though I don't think that's very common, or is it?
It's actually getting more common as time goes on. A lot of people get a lot of phone calls for pets, and a lot of phone calls for people that want their dogs taxidermied.
Right. And what about if again, somebody who might fish or shoot, or the hunting, shooting, fishing type of, you know, where you've got a prize fish maybe that you might like to showcase in a glass case that I caught this 22-pounder on Loch Carrib?
Absolutely,
have a look at it here. And you can look at it every day.
I don't do fish myself. Michael does fish and some other taxidermists. A lot of us specialise in certain areas. But people do from the hunting area. But most of us, I know from my point of view, 90%, actually I checked even this weekend, 93% of what I got in this year is actually from roadkill and stuff that died naturally from people that keep stuff.
Okay, let's bring in Michael. Michael, I just was asking about fish there. Is it common for you to be approached by a fisherman and say, I caught this 20-pound salmon up in the Moy, would you mind stuffing it for me?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes the price puts them off, Bobby.
Tell me how much that would cost, or approximately
it depends on the size of the fish.
So, 20 pounds.
It depends on the length of the fish.
2 feet.
20 euro a foot.
Right.
No, it's about 20 euro an inch. And then a case on top of that. So you could be talking for a big salmon in a glass case, 600 to 700 euro.
Right.
But there's a lot of work in it. It can go on for, it can't be done overnight, can't be done in a day. It's completely different than a bird. It takes weeks because you have to put stuff in that has to dry before you can do other parts on it. The fins have to be rebuilt.
Right.
They all shrink, water goes out of them and all that. And there's all different chemicals you use and different substances you use.
And can I ask you, Michael, where did you train as a taxidermist? Well, what's the process of training?
The process is that there's very few places here in Ireland, but there's not many places here in Ireland. There is a few taxidermists that do a little workshop of their own.
Like an internship or an apprentice type thing?
Mainly take on one person, have them for a couple of days, practice on a board. But it takes years to be good at the whole lot, like, you know. In England, it's that popular that people can just specialise in boards and do nothing else. Other people can do deer heads, we say, buffalo heads, things like that, and don't do boards. So it depends. Like Ireland, we have to be kind of a jack of all trades.
Yeah, very interesting. Let's bring in our third guest, Tracy Murphy. Tracy, you're very welcome to the programme. When did you get into this wonderful craft?
Just over about 2 years ago.
Right.
I was interested in it. I liked the look of it, but it was one of those things where, oh, I want to do it someday, but I never got a chance to do it. So I was coming home one night from a night shift and I found a perfect little grey squirrel on the road. Unfortunately, he was roadkill. So I picked it up and I said, right, let's get this done. So I kind of started at the perfect time in my life because 2 months later, I heard about the Taxidermy Association at the Burr Games Fair. So when I went there then, it just opened a whole new set of people that were interested in it. So it was perfect timing for me.
So you've been doing it for 2 years odd. And who did you work with or to increase your skills?
Most of it was just training myself and looking at videos on YouTube and getting a few books, even though the books are quite limited because they are quite old. So they have a lot of poisoning chemicals that be used in it. So the techniques are there.
Right.
The chemicals that they would use wouldn't be available today. But I also did a class with Donal as well, and mounting a grey crow, so that was a great help to get me going with other birds.
I assume one of the advantages is that, you know, if you want to educate children around foxes and owls and animals that you wouldn't really see, or you certainly wouldn't see them, that these would that be close. Exhibited in museums and places like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've got actually two. My niece and nephew, one is 11 and the little niece is 9. And they're absolutely fascinated with it. And they're so interested in that, how close they can get to these birds. And I do like the educational part of it where children are concerned, because they see all these animals on telly and on pictures and stuff. But it's just so nice to see their faces when you put a real fox in front of them. And they get to touch it, and they can see how big it is, how close it is, and all that. So it is, it's a nice way of getting the children involved as well.
Yes, Michael.
Well, I actually a local school, and I was approached by one of the parents, like, that would I think of maybe bringing something up to the school. So I got on to the principal of the school, and he agreed and organised a couple of classes. And I went up and brought some of the specimens up there, and I was actually amazed myself that the amount of children and some of the teachers that actually didn't even know what a pine marten was,
yeah,
what a snipe was. I had to point it out, like, that's a pine marten. And they from Ireland. And I said, yeah, they're a native to Ireland. They didn't even know.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Donald, would bird watchers be somebody that would be interested in using your service? As in, people who are interested, I suppose, in... And Michael mentioned them there, things like snipe, pine marten, that kind of thing.
Yes, I am actually a member of Birdwatch Ireland myself, and I think most of us that do taxidermy, certainly in England, when we go over to the UK, that they're all members of the Birdwatch community over there. And to learn taxidermy, you have to be out looking at birds and looking at animals, you have to be that interested in it. Birdwatchers would definitely be into taxidermy, and even people that do art, because if the birds can be done to a high standard, artists actually use them to paint them.
Yeah.
But getting back to the training thing that Michael was talking about there, we've formed a taxidermy association.
How many taxidermists are there in Ireland?
We reckon there's about 40, but since we started the association, we have 25, nearly 30 members. A lot of those are beginners. We have probably 7 or 8 professionals. And what we're offering for the first time ever, actually, in this country is a qualification in taxidermy.
And how long would that take, and what would that involve?
The way it works through accreditation, which is a European standard.
Right.
And what we did last year, we had our first conference in the Castle Oaks House Hotel in Limerick, where we first time ever the taxidermists came together in one place for competitions. But we brought 2 judges from Europe. We brought over a guy named Peter Sonnesen from Denmark. Now, he's a world champion taxidermist in birds, and he can offer accreditation through a credit system.
Okay.
So if people get up to the right quality, they're given credits.
Is it a business that, just to look at the business end of it at the moment, is it something that will be growing or falling or fairly steady in terms of the demand for the service?
We actually think it is growing in demand. It's becoming more popular. And you can see that, like, by the television, like, you know, even interior designers are using taxidermy. And so, yeah, we think it is growing, and we hope it is, like, you know, and we want to encourage it, because there's nothing wrong with it, like, you know.
Yeah, and
I think you're showing respect for a bird. If you pick a bird or a squirrel off the road, a little red squirrel that actually died, got hit by a car, instead of leaving it there to rot, to get it done, mounted up and looking alive again, you're showing respect for that animal.
Yeah,
think, you know.
Yeah, and do you get sort of some opposition, maybe from animal rights people or that kind of thing, that there's a kind of a trophy element to the killing of an animal? No, if you're talking about stags,
as you say, but we don't shoot the messenger, like, you know.
Yeah,
we're putting on a service for people who lost their dog, maybe died, or someone who did get a trophy head or something like that. It's, You know, that's their business at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Part of the reason we set up the Taxidermy Association of Ireland was to educate people in what taxidermy is really about.
Yeah.
And it's not about going out killing everything and stuffing it. As I said, 93% of what I got in this year was actually roadkill and found killed.
Is it an art, Michael?
At the highest level, it's definitely an art.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely an art. But that's what we're trying to do, bring training into the country that was never here before. And there's a lot of taxidermists out there beginning, and before they'd know where to go. Actually, when I was young, I was 14, I think I rang every taxidermist in the country, which came to about 6 or 7 people, and there was no help. So it was very frustrating. But now we can offer that through training. And there's a few of us that do training course for beginners all the way up to accreditation level.
Tracy, what did you, when you started, you mentioned you started with a squirrel, was it?
Yeah.
Is that, and do you progress then up to, I suppose, more complicated animals?
If that's what you're interested in and that's the way you want to go, that's great. But I find that it takes a long time to learn how to do what you're doing and how to do it to a good standard. So you tend to spend, I tend to spend a lot of time sticking to the little guys. If you want to start doing bigger animals, big deer heads, you need the space, you need the equipment, you need the money. You need a lot of things set up there first before you start taking in deer heads. You need simple things like big freezers and stuff, lack of space. At the moment, what I'm doing is I'm just sticking to the little guys. I like doing no bigger than a grey crow and no bigger than a squirrel at the moment. Hopefully, I'm hoping to get my experience up and start on the foxes. But personally, I wouldn't go any higher than that.
Michael, what's the most difficult animal to taxidermy?
I'd say I would go with a fish.
Is it?
Yeah. And people don't realise that. They think you just stuff something into the fish and that's it. But fish has to be skinned. You have to make a body the same size as the old body to put the skin back around it. Cast a new head for it because the head could maybe shrink. So it is. I'd go for fish myself now.
And when you guys look in your association for best practice, looking overseas or that, is there any country that still would be, that would come to mind as being that are very proficient in this art?
Most European countries have an association now.
Yeah.
Only a few. We now have one, thank God. But some countries, what we're governed under now is EU laws. So as regards wildlife, it's a sites that we're under, and that's the law from Europe.
Yeah.
So we have to abide by that. And not every country does that. They stick to their own laws or no laws at all.
What kind of people are your customers outside of, as we talked earlier about the hunting, shooting, fishing folk? What other customers are there?
Well, you'd have other customers, for instance, restoration work for antique shops maybe and things like that.
Yeah.
Museums. Also, like only recently I've done a little budgie for an old woman she's actually in a nursing home at the moment, and a budgie died. And one of the nurses brought the budgie to me to get a taxi down to bring it back to her.
She
missed
the
board that much. So from an old woman to a young lad, maybe shot his first pheasant,
And finally to you, Tracy, is it a difficult business to make money out of? The commercial side of it?
I'd say it can be.
Yeah.
Like I say, you need the experience. You need to be putting out good stuff to make up your business. You need to be produce an excellent mounted animals so people can buy them and you get the best price for them. It takes years.
Well,
to
quote
to
yourself, putting out good stuff is the is the absolute word there. So I'd like to thank our group of taxidermists today. Michael Dunn from the Taxidermy Studio. Tracy Murphy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Donal Mulcahy there from Glenamead. Thanks very much for joining us. So fascinating business that I knew nothing about and now I'm all completely educated.